Morning, everyone. Are y'all prepared to stay here till midnight to hear the Lord's word? Amen. Well, I hate to disappoint you. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord, I come before you at this time about to deliver this message that I have put together. Inspired by you, I pray. Lord, I ask that you speak through me as well as to me, to the rest of the congregation, that we all may benefit from the words that I have put together. Forgive me, Lord, when I fall short. Forgive all of us when we fall short. But help us to strive to our best ability to do your will each day that we live. In Jesus' name we ask this blessing. Amen. My lesson this morning, the title of my lesson is Parking on Someone Else's Nickel. Parking on Someone Else's Nickel. Now, some of you may remember, and some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but it used to be a time when we would go downtown and they had parking meters. And you say, where's the parking meter? Well, a parking meter was something that they put up in front of this little space that you parked at, and you had to put a nickel in. And then it went to a dime and kept on going up like things do. Well, you would get out, or most people would ride around and look for a space more so than looking for a meter that had time on it. But you looked for the space, and if you found a space, you would go and park into it, and then you would put your nickel in and turn the little knob, and I forgot how many minutes it would give you. I think it went up to like 5 or 10. The more money you put in, the more time you had on the meter. And you would go in and do your shopping or go into wherever you was at to do whatever business you had to take care of, whether it was, could have been shopping, could have been paying a bill, could have been at court, whatever. But sometimes you were fortunate enough to get a meter that still had some time on it. And therefore comes by the saying of parking on someone else's nickel. Because if you were fortunate enough to get a meter that had a few minutes on it, that meant it was less money that you had to put into the meter to give you more time where you was at. Well, that is the thought of today, parking on someone else's nickel in church. In the Lord's church, each person has a job. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we see a number of verses instructing us on how to serve the Lord and behave like a Christian. And when I first started doing this lesson, I thought about, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 22, somewhere around in there, about the rich young ruler, that he had been keeping all the commandments, and he came to the Lord and said, well, what am I lacking? You know, I'm doing pretty good. I think I am. I've been keeping these commandments. I've been doing this. And a lot of people come to church today and think the same thing. I go to church every Sunday. I put my money in the plate. I pray. You know, I give to the poor. I'm always willing to help and do things. But is it a possibility that we could still be lacking? Now, it is a list of things in chapter 12 that tells you how to behave as a Christian, which in turn you will be serving the Lord. I'm not going to read through all of them, but I would like to get you to turn your attention to verse 9. In verse 9, it says, to another. I'm on the right page. Somehow I think I got mixed up. Chapter 12, verse 9. That's not the one. I lost my spot. Well, I know it is chapter 12. I'm sorry. Did I tell you? 1 Corinthians, that was my text, is in Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I'm only human. But let's look at chapter 12 in Romans and look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, just those, I'm guilty, because sometimes I'm lacking in my diligence. Someone can come to me and say, what team you like in football? Oh, I'm a Green Bay fan. And then they ask me, what church you go to? AHL. You hear the difference? You know, I'm lacking. I can see someone on the street, and I'm in a hurry, and they may be begging, and I ain't got time. You know, speed off. I'm lacking. I do that. I'm ashamed, but the truth is the truth. God know it, so I can't act like I don't do it, you know, so I'm guilty. But from this lesson, it gives me something to work on to try to be better. Now, are we lacking in zeal when we set our minds on high things and do not associate with the humble? Or when we are wise in our own opinion? Again, I'm guilty. Because sometimes I know I'm right. You know, and I'm trying to explain it or tell it. And if you don't get it, well, that's just the way you see it. But I'm trying to tell you what I know is right. And do we lose some of our spiritual fervor when we are not rejoicing in hope? Patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfast in prayer. I'm sure just like the rest of you, I pray every day, or most of it every day. I try to pray every day. Okay, some days I miss. I'm only human, as I said. But sometimes things get to weighing on me so heavy, I forget to pray in the morning. Maybe sometime during the day, because I'm constantly thinking about what's on my mind. Later on in the day, I'll pray. Before I go to sleep at night, I've been thinking about so much stuff that I'm trying to do, get done, go to this place, take care of that, pay this, and get into bed at night. And I feel good to lay down. And then, you ain't even pray today. Pray then. We can be lacking because we are human. But hopefully this lesson will help us to keep our foot in the right path. Can we say we are serving the Lord if we desire to repay evil for evil? If we do not desire to rejoice when those who rejoice, if we do not desire to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? Well, I feel sorry for anybody that runs into a situation that's beyond their control. I see a fire truck going down the street. I pull over. Sometimes I think, Lord, I hope they get there in time and save someone's house. Or I see emergency crew go down the street and get out the way, and I said, Lord, I hope that nobody got hurt too bad. But sometimes, like I said, I got so much stuff on my mind that I don't think about that when I see that fire truck and that emergency crew, or I pass by an accident and I see this car upside down and I slow up and I'm looking and I might see somebody laid out on the ground, I might not, and I'm so busy looking and trying to see what's going on, I don't even think about saying a prayer for whoever's out there. Again, I'm lacking. I guess that's what it means when it says we should be fervent in our spiritual walk in life. Well, we have to think about it. It's a 24-hour job every day. In order to help the Lord's church grow, one of our responsibilities is to serve one another humbly in love. In order to do this, one must place another above oneself. And if each one of us does this, it would eliminate quarrels and contention. That's easy, isn't it? Not really. I got a brother, biological brother. Sometimes me and him can't sit horses for 2 minutes. So when it comes to you sisters and brothers, I'm doing my best. But if I can't do that with him, what good is it to do it with you? I'm lacking. In Galatians chapter 5, from verses 13 to 15, it reads, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Oh, I love everyone. And I try to do my best to love everyone. But sometimes, a brother, a sister, as I told you before about my biological brother, sometimes him and I can't sit horses. So when I get with my Christian brothers and sisters, I try to be more tolerant because I'm doing it for the Lord. For my brother, for my mother, somehow it's a difference. I can get mad with him, get angry with him, because we are by blood. And you all are not. You all are just by Christ. I had to change my way of thinking. And I work on that. So, needless to say, sometimes I get mad with my biological brother, and sometimes I get upset with you all, too. Truth is the truth. And I'm sure you do with me. Because I'm not perfect. And I do things, and I may say things, and it may not be agreeable with how you feel. But in Christ, we try to set that aside because we love each other in Christ. And we pray to overcome this situation. Because this is the way that the devil slips in. Oh, you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to listen to her. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And you can tend to place yourself above your brother and sister. And that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you're supposed to love them as your neighbor, or love them, put them above you. If you do that, you shouldn't have that any animosity. I'm not saying you're going to get along like peaches and cream, but you should have an open enough mind to get along and to still love. Now, as much as my brother and I get quarrel sometimes and disagree, I still love him. love him to death. We help him in anything. I still have a love for him that is like no other. I'm not going to see anybody do anything to him if I can help it. And I'm not going to see him suffer if I can help it. I feel the same about you. Not just you here, but any brother and sister that is in the Christian faith. Because we are all joined together by Christ. But please know, at some point, you're going to disagree. But that disagreement shouldn't separate you from Christ. And that's what we have to learn from his word and try our best to live. And if we do that, we will be rewarded in just time. Looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For it reads, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." The love we show each other, what we do for each other, what we do in the church, for the church, what we do for God, we will get a reward. And I'm sure all of you at some time or another have worked. And you know you look for to get paid for the work that you do. Some days you may be fortunate enough to take a day off and still get paid for it. You won't be parking on someone else's nickel. You'll be parking on your own nickel because you earned it. You know, some jobs have Lord, I can't think of it now. Especially like state jobs or government jobs, you have comp time or you have sick time. And you can call me, "I'm not coming today. I don't take a sick day. I'm not coming today. I'm taking comp time." And you still get paid for it. That's great. You earned it. What about those days when you don't have comp time, you don't have sick time, and you're actually sick? You may be throwing up. "I can't make it today. Something is wrong with me. I can't make it. I'm throwing up." Okay, well, we'll see you tomorrow. But you know, it's not spoken, but you know, you're not getting paid for this day that you're taking. So when your check gets short, don't look for it. With God, as the scripture says, he will reward us for our work. But in order to get paid, we have to continue to do it. Now, we'll get paid for what we do, because each day that you do what you can do, he blesses you. Number one, you got the ability to do it. You got the mobility to do it. You got the right heart to help someone or to look out for his people. And you're doing your best at it. You just ain't here, take it. You know, you're doing your best. But in order to get that final payment, you know, what we look forward to when you was working sometime, that bonus at the end of the year, when the company is doing good, they may give you a little extra money, you know, the profits. Not everybody had it like that, but some did. But with God, we look for the bonus at the end when we get to heaven. That's the big payoff. Just being blessed every day, oh, that's good, you know. But I'm still striving to get to the big payoff. As before stated, in the Lord's church, each person has a job. As a Christian, we have a 24-hour-a-day job, 7 days a week, and that involves conducting ourselves as a Christian and serving our Lord. From this verse, we see God works hard. From this verse, we see good works and labor proceed from love to God. In other words, when we do good, it's because God has inspired us and we know we are doing a good thing. And God is commending us. He's blessing us to be able to do what we be able to do. And what is done to any in the name of God should not go unrewarded. What is done to the saints as such, God takes as done to himself. Those who expect a gracious reward for the labor of love must continue in it as long as they are able and have opportunity. Which means, on that job, you had comp time, you could take a day off. You didn't have no comp time, but you still took a day off, you took a loss. But with God, he's still blessing you. But sometimes we take a day off because we're lacking. Like I said, I'm lacking. I'm striving every day to try to do better. Sometimes I remember in time. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think about it afterward. You know, you get to that point, if I could have, should have, would have, I should have did this. I could have did that. Man, why didn't I even think about it? And do you ever amaze yourself sometimes at a situation that happens and you are speaking on behalf of the Lord and you saying stuff that you didn't even realize you knew? I mean, you know, you're trying to encourage somebody and you really telling them, and you think about it later, and say, I ain't intending on saying all that. I ain't know I had all that in me. You know, but it was good. That's when you was inspired by the Lord to do the good work. But sometimes, yes, we fall short. But don't worry, because God's going to give you another opportunity. When you think about it and you say, I should have, I could have, I would have, well, you will have an opportunity as time goes on. And then you learn from that, and you progress, and you grow, and you do better next time around. Because believe me, it may not come exactly the same way, but it's going to come around again. You'll have another opportunity. Sometimes you can uplift someone. Sometimes you can correct someone. Sometimes you can correct yourself, like I do, constantly. I make mistakes, but I thank God that he knows I'm only human. And I still make mistakes, and he continues to bless me. The purpose of this lesson is not to batter nobody, not to point fingers at nobody, not to talk about nobody. It's for us to realize, like God put in his word here, read this and you will know what you need to do. When you see something in here that, I didn't know that. Or, day, I've been doing it like this all the time. I should do this. Or I should do better. I have an opportunity. That's how he wants us to grow. We take that and we grow by it. And not just take it and won't pay no attention to it. You have heard a small portion of the Lord's word. As I look out, I see that looks like everybody has obeyed the gospel. But in the event that you haven't, you should hear the Lord's word and understand it. And it would provoke you to believe it. Because there's so much stuff in this world today we hear and we believe. I mean, they'll tell you, buy this product and it'll do this. Then you buy it and it don't do this. But you believe it because you bought it and then you lost money. Every day we're going to hear stuff. Hear the Lord's word. It should put a little spark into you to make you believe it. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. He came here, gave his life for us so that we wouldn't have to pay the cost of sin, which is death. And if that motivates you, then you should repent. Repent makes you stop doing what you're doing and change your way. And it will make you confess to the fact that, yes, you want to be different. You want to change your life. you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, which you will have to go into the water, watery grave of baptism, to be baptized, to wash away your sins. And when you come up, that's when you begin life anew. As a new creature, it should say you begin life your hardest part, because now you have to show what you confess to each day that you live. And yeah, it's going to be hard. It's not impossible. But we strive every day to do that, to show ourselves a Christian, to behave as a Christian, to follow Christ's word, to do as he says. One of the hardest things to do, love someone to hate you. When you know someone don't like you, always doing things to disrupt you, think about it like this. You are face to face with the devil. You wonder what the devil looks like? It looks just like that person that's always doing something to you, that you know that they are always doing it purposely, that's always talking about you, snickering, laughing. That's what they look like. Now, what do? You profess to be a Christian. So you have to take all that, because when you get your just reward, it will be all worth it. Everything that you took will be worth nothing. But we have to get there. It don't mean nothing if you don't get there. All the work that we do. If you have obeyed the gospel, but as like me, you fall short from time to time and you desire to be prayed for, you can come forward this time as we sing the hymn of invitation.